Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network. I am your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net and click on our contact page and you'll be directed by the various means that you can reach us. If you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes. And thanks for those who have done it already. Okay, thank you for joining us today. We are discussing Vikings Season 1, Episode 4, called Trial. This is directed by Kieran Donnelly, written by Michael Hurst. Any thoughts on this episode before we get started?
Steve?
I like this story arc about everything that's going on between Ragnar and the Earl, the rivalry. I just think it makes for good storytelling.
Yeah, it's like the meat and potatoes.
I don't want to give too much away or get spoilery about it, but so that's all I can really say, but there you have it.
Okay, and just like last episodes, we're going to go over the recap, and then we're going to have a spoiler section at the end, and it's going to be separated with music, so it cues you to turn off your device if you don't want to hear any spoilery topics.
But you know you do.
Mm-hmm. Tempt them, Steve. The episode opens not long after we left off last episode with the fleeing soldier from the last encounter between the Vikings and the British, and this soldier is arriving to his destination. We see that Ragnar is asking their captive how much further, and Arne spies the settlement that this fleeing soldier had arrived at and alerts Ragnar and his men. Ragnar and the others get closer to scout out the place. Rollo wants to attack now. Ragnar wants to wait. Rollo thinks surprise is their best advantage. Ragnar asks Arne what day is it today, and Arne says Saturday. Ragnar says then we attack tomorrow.
They're waiting for church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ragnar is.
He's done his homework.
He's picked Athelstan's brain after he's plied him with booze and food and got him to spill the beans about everything that goes on in Christian society, so he knows that everybody's going to be going to church.
And he's smugly keeping that information to himself.
He is, yeah.
Knowledge is power, though.
We will see.
If they don't, well, you know, it's smart because if nobody else realizes it, then they just think he's like a master, you know, strategist when it's successful. So this way, you know, he just looks smarter than everybody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The wizard behind the curtain.
Exactly.
So next scene, we meet King Ella. This is the King Ella we've heard about.
Fat Elvis. That's what he reminds me of.
Kind of looks like Baratheon, too, a little bit.
Robert yeah, Brown. He does.
So the soldier is telling him of the Vikings that they had the recent encounter on the beach with. Another man comes up and he has information from Lindisfarne, which sounds very similar to the same people that they are dealing with now. King Ella says these pagans are not welcome. So it's now Sunday. Ragnar's camp prepares for battle. Ragnar tells Lagertha to take care of herself in battle. Rollo is ready to attack, and Ragnar wants to wait. When he hears their church bells is when he decides it is time. They enter the settlement uninhibited because everyone is at church. Only geese are there to greet them. They make their way to the church and see the inhabitants' weapons left outside the doors.
This part's hilarious because they just all start smiling at each other like, are you serious? Really? Yeah. This is going to be like taking candy from a baby.
They barge through the doors. And it's not long before some Englishmen are killed. The rest of the congregation cower away from the Vikings. The priest asks, who are they? Why have they come here? That this is a place of God. And Ragnar says, if they do not resist, they will not hurt them. And this is translated for the congregation by the priest, right? That's who translated.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Vikings begin to gather their loot. Rollo and others have broken off from the main group to search out the rest of the settlement. He barges into a house and discovers an ailing man. He gives some water before stealing his silver cup and pitcher.
Well, it shows he's got a little bit of a heart.
Well, it shows he's complicated, too. He's like got a duality inside of him. But he's also just a Viking, right?
The first time I watched this, I thought to myself, wow, he really does have a heart.
Yeah.
Because there's this guy, there's this old dying man on a bed, and he's about to take a shit, but he gives him some water first out of it. But the second time I watched it, or perhaps the third time I watched it, I thought about it, and I was like, he knows this guy's going to die anyway. He's going to take everything. He's just like, here, hurry up and drink this. I'm taking your stuff. You know, it wasn't so much an act of kindness as like, here, just take the rest of the damn water. Hurry up.
Well, see, now we also know that in his religion, they believe if you die of old age, if you die of sickness, you go to hell. So maybe it's like, here, dude, have this one last act of kindness before you
possibly,
go to hell.
Hmm. I kind of like to think he just has a heart, but
it could be that. Maybe it's a 50-50.
I think he definitely has a heart just by the fact that he gave him some of it, whether he thinks he's going to hell or...
I guess, yeah, that's true, because he could have just, like, slowly poured it out onto the floor while he's staring at him and then left, you know, took it and left. Yeah.
Take his sheet, take his blanket, too. You don't need it.
Poke him in the ribs.
What you doing? What you doing? Why are you hitting yourself?
So back at church, Flookie tastes the sacrament wine and spits it out.
And then takes another gulp right after.
The church crowd cries out in fear, and this amuses Flookie. Meanwhile, Canute has barged into another household and discovers a mother and child.
Now, before we get to this part, when everybody was breaking off to go do their separate little pieces of the looting, he follows Lagertha with a very certain look on his face. He looks intent, like he's, you know, like, I'm going to get her.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, we didn't mention it when we were talking about it, but he goes off and, you know, because I watched it, I think it was night
maybe
before.
To watch her, as because possibly, he's supposed to be there to watch her and Ragnar probably, but.
I thought the whole reason that he was sent with them was to.
Spy.
To spy, to find out their means of getting across the open sea to other lands.
Maybe it's just to make him seem even more dirtbaggery than he is already, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Give him, like, the quick look of, oh, I'm going to give me some Lagertha. But then at the same time, of course, he can't because she's badass, so.
Yeah.
Because he didn't attempt to rape her first.
I think it's just a tool to make him seem even more snake in the grass, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
But maybe he was thinking it and found easier prey, or what he thought was easier prey. So yes, he barged into a household, discovered a mother and child that are cowering. Flookie steals the cross and then kills the priest. Canute begins raping the woman, and Lagertha discovers this and tells him to leave her alone. Then they fight. He knocks her out long enough to attempt to rape her. She knifes him and intently watches his eyes as he dies. It's pretty badass, actually.
I really like that scene because no one came to save her. She just took matters into her own hands, and she killed him pretty handily. Svein is going to be so disappointed.
Oh, no.
Where is my Canute?
Did you guys want to say anything about Flookie stealing the cross, killing the priest? Any comments?
I thought Flookie was enjoying himself.
Absolutely.
He looked like he was having a grand old time. And then, you know, because whenever he spit out the wine and he got that reaction from everybody, he kind of turns his head and looks at him. And then he sees, I've got an audience. And then when he lifts up the cross and he's getting even more of the reaction, he's playing it up to the hilt.
Plus, he's so into his own religion, you know, that it's almost like a cleric of Odin in there doing that.
Yeah. It's almost like he feels like it's his duty to just kind of crap on other religions.
Exactly. Because everybody else's priorities have been to go and loot. Mm-hmm. You know, He's like you said, he's taking pleasure in messing with the Christians.
It's interesting to me because Floki's the fan favorite, I think, character of the show. But he's also the character that reminds us of the stereotype of the Vikings being these scary people, the, some of the things that, you know, we've heard of, the horrors of Vikings.
Yeah.
I thought Eric was like to me, the stereotypical, like, as far as looks and everything,
yes, looks.
You know, like the beard and stuff like that, and just this big, giant, imposing northern raider who comes in on a boat, kills you, and steals your crap, you know, but...
I'm just talking about an action. Not
yeah, like yeah, that. I agree. I agree with what you're saying, but, like, when I think, like, visually of the stereotypical Viking, that's who I
with
think
of. With
the
horned helmet?
Yeah, yeah, with the horned helmet.
No, that's not accurate. They didn't wear horned helmets.
Yeah, I haven't seen any on the show.
Because it would be, apparently, like, a liability in battle to have a horned helmet on.
Makes sense.
It could be easily grabbed.
Yeah, that's true.
And probably heavy. And probably get in the way.
Just looks cooler.
It's just ornamental. Yeah. Wear it to the balls, you know. Not for fighting.
I just had a vision of, like, people doing these twirly waltzes with horned helmets on. Anyway, so the Vikings regroup, and Ragnar asks, where is Canute? Lagertha says she killed him.
I understand how you wear a helmet on your balls.
How would you wear a helmet on your balls? Let me think
That's
about
That's why
this.
I was like, sitting there thinking, and then him said something about dancing. I was like, bad ball.
Oh, that kind of ball. I was going to kind of like say something to differentiate the two, but I didn't think it was necessary. Yeah, I guess it was.
I'll leave it in because it's probably going to throw a lot of people off.
What did he just say?
It just means you think about balls more than you think about dancing.
Somebody yes. does, apparently.
Yes.
You
Maybe
too.
Not me, but this guy.
Okay, so the Vikings regroup, and Ragnar asks, where is Knut? Lagertha says she killed him. She tells Ragnar why she did this, and he wants to know if anyone saw this happen. She shakes her head no, and Ragnar says to Rollo, and where were you?
Well, he also says that's unfortunate, mm-hmm. because there's no witness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then he looks at Rollo, and he's like, and where were you?
Yeah, he knows what's going to happen as a result of that.
Oh, yeah.
I could see her being a little pissed off, though. I wouldn't blame her if she was. But yeah, I'm fine. Everything came out good.
Yeah.
You know, I took care. Don't worry about me. You know, just worry about the witness.
I thought about that because he doesn't ask
how
she is. But I actually thought it was kind of cool because he knows she can take care of herself. You know what I mean? And maybe I don't think it's a lack of care on his part. I think he knows she can take care of herself. He can see
they
she's
do
okay.
They do fist fight a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But at the same time, I mean, if something had happened to you, I would assume that you could take care of yourself and you came out in one piece. I'd know that you're all right, but I would still be concerned and I'd show it.
I would just wonder if it's a worldview in a way. And I bring that word up a lot on this podcast, but you try to put yourself in those times where there's violence everywhere. And people probably didn't worry about the psychological aspect as much like we do.
The takeaway here is that I'm a better husband than Ragnar is all
you
I'm trying
are,
to say.
You are, yes.
So that's, you know, that's all it boils down to.
I can't say anything because that's spoiler, but you definitely are.
Well, the natural reaction would be to ask how they're doing, but Ragnar's...
Yeah, he has other concerns on his mind. I understand that. He's looking out for the whole group. He knows that whatever Knut did required that course of action from Lagertha, and it was justified, but it's also mm-hmm. going to put everything in peril. So
plus, he's a little... Plus, they fist fight a lot.
Yeah, and they fist fight a lot, so...
Yeah, I did not escape my notice, but I didn't think it was a negative, so... okay. So now they're on the beach. We have some English soldiers who are gathered in formation, dragging two deceased Vikings, and they were actually left there to guard the boat. The Vikings have now come back, and they see this, and the English now see them. The Vikings quickly form a shield wall, and the English release their arrows. Then the English attack. The Vikings use the shield wall cleverly, opening from time to time to set out an arrow or two, and raising men above the wall to send off some arrows as well. I think it was Torstein and Arne they would mm-hmm. raise high to.
I think they're the tallest in the group, aren't they?
I don't know if Arne's the tallest.
He's pretty tall, though.
I think Eric is the tallest.
Yeah.
Or it might be Arne.
Eric and Rollo, and you wouldn't want to put one of them on your back.
No. So we'll say the tallest.
Maybe the lightest.
Skinnier of the group.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'd be going up. Yeah.
Yes. To me, not so much.
So Rollo is like a one-man army in this scene, too. It's pretty cool because he's using his shield and taking on a lot of men at once. He does his own stunts, by the way.
Does he?
Yes.
Well, fuck, he's big enough, you know.
He's also doing a chant in this. He starts a war chant, and other people start coming in with it, and Lagertha is one of them. And what he's saying is, it took me about 5 minutes to get this because you have to keep rewinding and you have to have it on closed captioning. But he's saying, upon the overturned keel, which is a part of a boat,
mm-hmm.
clamber with a heart of steel, cold is the ocean spray, and your death is on its way. With maidens you have had your way, each must die someday. And it's but the way they say it in between, it's like punctuated. Each verse is punctuated by a swing of the sword or the axe. I thought it was pretty neat.
So, yeah, like I said, Rollo is like a one-man army. The English leader watches in dismay, and then he and others run off after they see defeat is nigh.
Monty Python. Run away.
I know. Run.
Ragnar is bloodied and sits next to fellow countrymen. Dead countrymen, I should say. King Ella wants reasons for their defeat. The only answer the advisor has, I keep calling that guy the advisor because I don't know what his title is. He's the one who talked about Lindisfarne.
Yeah.
He's the man with the thinning hair.
I know who you're talking about. He's kind of like the whipping boy because mm-hmm. he has to go do all the shit work and then he has to come back and get an earful from his boss. And it's like, if you'd like to go do it yourself, go for it.
He's the messenger with bad news.
Yeah.
So the only answer he has is the name Ragnar at this point.
They whipped us.
And the Vikings perform some burials. There are three men buried with their shields and weapons and a horse head. Rollo tells Ragnar not to pity their dead, that they are in Valhalla drinking ale with the gods.
Why'd they put the horse head?
I know that some of the burials that they have found, like, there would be a lot of things included, and like horses and even an entire boat.
So, like, some of your possessions would transfer over, like, with the Egyptians? Or...
Yeah, I think that you were taking it with you. It's just like, mm-hmm. you know, last episode that mm-hmm. the Earl killed that kid and they were burying all that.
So why put the kid in then?
Because he's guarding
oh,
it
right.
till
that's
he's
right.
able to claim it.
So that way, when you go to the other side... The little kid can haunt you while you're enjoying your stuff.
A shirtless kid.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
they were
don't forget that point.
It was a pedo move.
Yeah.
Forgot.
Do you think maybe they were drinking some ale from the boat and they just got drunk and just thought it would be funny to put a horse head in there? They can't think like, of any other
when they get to Valhalla, this will freak them out.
Yeah. They would have put the horse cock with it if they were going to try and be funny. Because that would be funny.
I think it's symbolic. And,
yeah.
And even the way that the formation was, like the it looked like a wheel or something. You mm-hmm. had the horse head at the top and the way the shields are positioned. So, as Rollo said, he's trying to put a positive spin. They're with the Valkyries, who are these awesome warrior virgins who come down and bring them up to Valhalla and have sex with these men, and they drink ale and they get to fight and kill each other and then wake back up, and this is their lives until Ragnarok comes. It's another Wheel of Time thing, because that was when Matt blew the horn. I think that's an equivalent that he was bringing those fighters like you would from Valhalla. So, but then Eric says, even so, that they're in Valhalla, we still must avenge this specific Viking's death that they're mourning over. And they must do it against this King Ella. And then Ragnar says that they will because the gods will it. And then Ragnar talks to their prisoner, the one who has showed them the way to the town. Ragnar asks if he wants to live. The man nods yes, and Ragnar shakes his head no. And then Rollo just immediately decapitates him.
Fooled ya.
That guy's not going to Valhalla.
He got a drink before he died, too.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something ritualistic about that in their culture. Have a drink before you die.
Bjorn wants to go to Kattegat. Athelstan says that Ragnar would not approve. Gita wants some ale, and Athelstan tells her she is too young. Bjorn gives her ale anyway. Bjorn wants to sacrifice Athelstan for his dad's safe return.
It's like those two kids from Four Rooms.
You know? Oh, yeah. That's actually the
what
best story
doing?
In that.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Athelstan reads his Bible, and the wolves howl in the distance. Athelstan asks his God if it is his will that he is living with these heathens. Athelstan says that he is angry with his God and feels lonely, and then asks, "Where are you, Lord? Why don't you answer me?" He hears the flapping of wings, and he goes to see what made the sound, and he discovers an owl.
The owl is not what it seems.
No.
I think
owls
this is...
are not what they seem.
There's a note from Harry Potter on it. No.
It's Hedgewick. Well, I can tell you in Christian iconography, well, that's not really the right word. Supposedly Christian symbolism, I guess, which there's not really a lot of mentions of owls in the testaments, but the owl apparently symbolizes sinners who have given up living in the light and have chosen the darkness instead. The owl can symbolize Jesus, who has gone into the darkness in pursuit of those living in darkness. And the owl symbolizes a righteous man who does not want to step into the light of pride, but hides in the darkness of humility.
So in other words, like whatever you want it to be. Because that was just covered everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it works, though. You never thought about it that way, being, you know,
I think it's
night
interesting.
Creatures. I think it is, too.
And I think we could, you know, talk about it again in the spoiler section. Also, there was another thing that I didn't copy it down, but it actually sounded like something to help someone kind of see their way through the darkness. And that reminded me of like a hero's journey type thing. I always bring that up, but
Well, the one of Christ actually works here, though, because it's kind of like what Athelstan's doing. You know, he's going into darkness to try and maybe deal with people. And then if you figure too that Odin's represented as a crow, maybe this is, you know, them having Jesus being represented as an owl.
Who? Sorry.
Jesus, is that better?
I'll say
Who?
who is
I
such as
know.
this is
It would work.
it seems like Athelstan is having a little bit of crisis of faith here. You know, it seems to be he's actually, because before his faith has always fortified him, but at this point he's calling it into question because he's like, why are you doing this? If everything that you do has a reason, what's the reason behind this?
You know, most people do whenever they're in, you know, something bad is happening to them or anything. That's the first thing they do is ask for help, and then if it doesn't come, start accusing.
But the seeing the owl is what I think leads him to go and wake up Bjorn, like, okay, we're going. It's almost like he became an active participant in his situation instead of just going, you know, why and somebody intervene and help me, basically, Lord. And I think he's seeing himself put there in this situation now, like he's there on a mission that his Lord or God or whatever has put him there on purpose. So
Oh, it
me
sounds that
saying
works.
the fact that I'm saying Lord and God sounds stupid.
No, not at all.
Okay. Yeah,
No,
it does.
That's how they refer
That's
to.
yeah. I
Yeah,
mean, that's just
okay.
that's how it is.
It just sounds weird on my tongue.
It's the proper vocabulary for religion.
It's the only
I mean,
time
it's
I.
better than saying that guy, you
Yeah.
know?
The
So
dude.
this dude that they think exists, this
Yeah.
is what they're trying. No, yeah, this,
That's
you're
what gets
using the
him.
proper
Yeah,
terminology
you're
for that.
good.
I agree with what you're saying. You're right. I didn't think about it like that, but it is a good insight. He's becoming an active participant in what's happening rather than just kind of being like, "Oh, I'll just sit here and take care of this pagan's kids."
Well, look where he lived before, though. He was in a Kush monastery that nothing ever happened. There's nothing really ever testing his faith. Now he's living with a bunch of pagans in a really effed up situation, and his faith is being tested. You know, it's easy to be a Christian when you're in a monastery surrounded by other Christians. It's not easy to be a Christian when you're around a bunch of pagans. You know, I mean, trust me, I grew up as a Mormon, and being around people that weren't Mormon, it would test your faith because there's always a bunch of questions. They think you're weird.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's true though. And then when you're around other Mormons, it's like, hey guys, you know, it's not that difficult. So I can understand where he's coming from.
That's what they say, like faith isn't faith until it's tested. You know, anybody can be straight edge in a dry county.
Well, you think that's where they
Yeah.
cook meth.
It does seem
there's that, yeah.
that
Might lead to bigger
What
problems.
can we get from Walmart
Yeah.
that get us high? Some gasoline, some batteries.
Sudafed.
Fuck it, let's just make it right in Walmart. That's
Sure, you
happened too.
could.
Now, those people have been busted trying to make
Oh my
meth right in
God.
a Walmart. It was a woman who,
Like in the bathroom?
I think it was in the
Probably in the
aisle. Like, she
aisle.
got busted.
You are so dumb.
You are so fucked up. You're
Here,
rehab.
hold this for
Oh, shit.
mama.
But anyway, I think it's cool that he's taken an active
Roll.
role. Yeah, I think he's taken an active role now because I think he feels like if he does that, like something's gonna be revealed to him. Like there's a promise of something that's, you know, his God's going to reveal to him. Like this, he's there for a reason. And so that's what seems to happen to me. And then he goes and he wakes up Bjorn and says, "We're gonna go to Kattegat."
Now, is there anything in the Viking mythology about owls? Because one of Odin sent the owl.
Did come across something and I decided not to include it. And I don't remember what it was because it made more sense because Athelstan's a Christian to talk about the Christian
Okay.
symbolism.
Ooh, minus two Hermione points for
Yeah, no shit. I'm
that.
sorry.
You're gonna, you get, you just got double potions with Snape. You're screwed.
Umbridge.
Umbridge.
You're
Oh,
going to
Miss.
Umbridge's class.
So anyway, this moment, yeah, I already said that. So the Vikings arrive back home. So the Earl seems less than pleased at their arrival. He asks how they fared. I mean, he's putting on a front, like he's going through the
Well, he
social.
even says, Ragnar, my friend,
Yeah.
you know, which obviously they're not friends.
Then
No.
Ragnar tells of their victory against the Saxons. The Earl is happy to share in Ragnar's achievements and the profit in the raid. But where's Canute? He's all looking around.
Svein pops up out of nowhere. Where is my friend?
Ragnar says Canute is dead. And the Earl says, dead?
One tear just fell.
Oh, poor Svein.
Poor Canute.
The Earl asks, did he die in battle? Ragnar says, no. Then how did he die? Ragnar says, I killed him. And the Earl says, you killed him. For what reason? And then it turns out that the excuse is too convenient for the Earl. He wants to know what Ragnar expected to gain. And he has Ragnar arrested.
Well, why not just say he died in battle? Nobody on the boat liked him anyway.
I think it's too risky to do that because maybe he thought if he goes the straight path here, he would have more of a chance of getting through the other end. Because because remember that guy that they killed on the boat on the way out there? There's probably other people that they don't really know very well. You know, I mean, for all he knows, somebody else could. I mean, imagine if you were the Earl, if you said Canute's going to go with you. He's my man, but you could have another man who's secretly, so you distract.
That's good
Ragnar,
strategy.
You know, they should have actually had that, but that would have been interesting.
So we just figured that he's not going that route because it's not safe, because somebody else can pop up and go, that's not what happened. I was there, and I was killing Saxons, too.
Well, you could bribe them, too, you know.
True. Now, did you notice that, the words were almost the same whenever Ragnar asked Lagertha, why she killed Canute?
Yeah.
And then when the Earl is asking Ragnar why he did it, you know, it's almost the exact same dialogue that's going on.
Well, it's lean and mean discussion. I don't think there's a lot of it just, I don't know.
I don't know what can be drawn from that, what conclusions to get from that, but it's there.
Yeah. I get straight to the point. So he has Ragnar arrested, and Ragnar asks, wouldn't you have done the same for Siggy? The Earl's men grab Ragnar, and Ragnar's men set to defend him when Svein counsels them to refrain. Ragnar is then taken away.
He tells them to take their shirts off before they fight, right?
Take them off.
You can't do this with your shirts on.
Maybe put some whale fat on you.
Whale fat. Blubber.
I'm just picturing Spain in one of those black and white stripes referees, you know, with shirts with a whistle and everything.
70s style with a couple buttons.
Yeah. Just chest hair poking through.
Still looks miserable.
So a hooded figure has been summoned by the Earl. It's Rollo. Strange. And the seer is also present and hanging in the corner kind of creepily like a spider.
Well, I mean, when you look like that.
Yeah.
No, everything you do looks creepy.
I want to be out of direct light.
You can't always hang out any other way.
Yeah, can you imagine if he was just kind of kicked up in a chair with his feet up? It'd still be creepy.
Yeah, maybe more so.
Spoiler. But
yeah. Because his hands look like that. His feet must be, whoa, gargoyle.
Yeah.
So the Earl asks about Ragnar. Is he fair? Does he treat you equally? Is it possible the Earl could have discerned this shit on his own, do you think? Did somebody tell him about this, like Canute, I wonder? Could Canute have deduced this with all the little he has seen? I just don't think
Canute would have had to have a cell phone,
I think,
to let him know, because the only interactions that he would have really been privy to, besides the one meeting where they decided to all go in the boat against Earl Harrelson's wishes, besides, that's the only time he would have had to get the measure of their relationship.
That's the point I'm trying to get to.
I kind of disagree on this, because I think the Earl, it's common knowledge. It's a small town. Rollo's doesn't exactly have, he's not exactly a quiet guy. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. I think this is one of those things that's probably been going on for a while.
That's the
Because he was quick to bring it up when he was talking to his brother, you know?
He probably just talked to
a village. There's also the fact that Earl Harrelson, he's not stupid. Mm-mm. So he has his own brother, who is a bastard son of his father in Canute, which we learn here a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But he also had two sons, so he was able to witness the sibling rivalry between the two of them. It's not really hard to make a deduction that one brother
especially
has kind of risen to prominence above an older brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's just a common sort of observation about humanity that he's employing to great effect to try to get Rollo to switch sides.
Plus, Rollo likes to drink. We've never seen Rollo's home, so I always think that he probably just lives in Kattegat somewhere. You know,
it
wouldn't surprise
Ragnar me. Technically does not live in Kattegat.
Mm. Right. Right.
Yeah, he's his own. A farmer.
And I think that everybody, it's also a little insight into human psychology that the Earl is playing on, because I think everybody kind of has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, everybody in the world, about their position in the world and what they do for the people around them and how important they are and how appreciated they feel about mm-hmm. that. You know, I think it's just, we can overcome it and be better people, but if we've got somebody trying to elicit that particular emotion out of us, it's very easy to let it come to the top. If we have any kind of vanity or any kind of unresolved issues mm-hmm. kind of pinging around in our head, to go, yeah, you're right. I do a lot of stuff. I do deserve more respect than I get. So I don't think it's anything that Earl Haraldson is particularly privy to that he went and did some back channel research on. I think it's just observations about humanity in general.
So what did you think of Rollo's reactions to this? I mean, when he was saying all these things to Rollo about, does he treat you equally? Did you make anything by his reaction, the look on his face?
I did, yeah. You want to go
no,
first?
No, go ahead, man.
I was watching Rollo's face, and, I've seen this episode two or three times already, but this time when I watched it, what I saw on his face was he was listening and listening and listening, and then when the Earl wanted his reaction, he kind of snapped out of something, and he was like, yeah, you're right. I can go along with that. But it was almost like he was playing his game. He just decided in that point in time that he was going to play the Earl's game to his own ends.
Yeah, because he saw what he was doing.
Right. Yeah, okay. He's like, this guy's trying to play me. I'm going to play him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah, because Rollo's really loyal to his brother.
Right.
You know.
So he offers Rollo wealth, but it depends on Rollo's ambition. The Earl then introduces his daughter, Thierry, to Rollo with some heavy implications. Siggy hangs back and watches and then walks in to say, don't forget about me, my love. She looks at Rollo intently and says she has heard that he is a great warrior. She is applying some heavy layer of manipulation here herself.
But he kind of seems more interested in her than mm-hmm. the daughter, despite her bad makeup job.
Siggy's?
Yeah. I don't like that stuff around her eyes. Mm. I don't know. I think she's generally a good-looking woman, but I don't like the stuff around that.
I liked her on her eyes. Her eyes look like dark pools. Cool.
It's called
smoky something, I think.
The smoky eye look.
Mm-hmm.
Rocket raccoon.
Yeah. That too.
So Ragnar is brought in for trial. We learn that Canute was the Earl's half-brother, as Steve said, and claims to have loved him like a brother. Yeah, right. So the Earl spells out Ragnar's crime. Lagertha watches on with concern. The Earl continues to talk about Ragnar beyond the accused crime, saying that he is a man that defies their traditions and laws. Ragnar says, yes, I killed him. I found him trying to rape my wife. Ragnar then asks the crowd, what would you have done? So he starts to speak to the crowd, which I think is probably out of character of most people who are on trial. So once again, we're showing Ragnar's capabilities mm-hmm. in a way.
Well, he knows that the crowd is also the power, though, you know.
And he then tells the Earl, even if he knew that Canute was his brother at the time, he still would have killed him. Ooh. Yeah, that had double meaning there.
Everybody in the crowd even did it.
Ooh.
Lagertha speaks up for Ragnar. She curses the Earl. She then says she killed Canute. And the Earl is so...
I was like, woman?
Yeah, he...
just made me a liar.
Trying to protect you.
Yeah, he hasn't heard much about Lagertha because he's heard, I guess, a lot about Rollo, but has not heard anything about Lagertha, even though she's a famous shield maiden, because he's like, you couldn't have done it, but whatever.
A little chauvinist.
She then, Svein says they have proof that Ragnar killed Canute. Rollo steps in and Rollo swears that he was there and that he saw everything. So it's all dun dun dun. What's Rollo going to do? Rollo says that Ragnar did kill Canute. Oh, and then he corroborates Ragnar's story about Canute trying to rape Lagertha. But there was something he said that Ragnar did not say. Oh, he says he tried to rape a Saxon woman first, because they never ever told the Earl that.
Right.
So he actually told the more of the truth in a way.
No, wait, Lagertha says that. She says that he was trying to rape mm-hmm. a Saxon woman. She intervened, and then he tried to rape her, and she killed him.
Okay, so she said that, and then Rollo basically tells that, and then says mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. Ragnar killed him. And Ragnar then raises his chains and says, now.
Who has the key?
Yes.
I swear I was nearby giving this old man water before I stole his stuff.
You can go ask him.
He's still there, maybe.
He's still alive.
Come back in a couple months and let me know what he says.
So now everyone is celebrating, all of Ragnar's friends, including Bjorn.
Who has passed out.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Ragnar thanks Rollo, and everyone is drunk and merry. Athelstan even drinks with Ragnar, and Ragnar thanks Athelstan for watching his children. He tells him Athelstan is a good Christian. Floki makes fun of the Earl. Everyone cracks up. Eric is outside relieving himself, and he is then attacked. The attackers enter the house and ask for Ragnar. Ragnar says he is unarmed and tells Lagertha to get the children. Violence ensues, and we soon learn that there was loss of life, and Eric was one of them. Next morning, Ragnar is cutting wood angrily, and Athelstan watches. So does Bjorn. Ragnar leaves with a rolled blanket. Athelstan notices this as well. The seer is now reading his runes for the Earl. The Earl wants to know if the signs are threatening. The seer says, yes, there is a quarrel. There will be violence. Bones and skulls broken. And I wanted to talk about that because it seems like he's got some serious political power that he could probably use to manipulate politics. But
the seer?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Athelstan asks, why does Ragnar sit at the hillside? The seer tells... So what's happening here is we've got like a back and forth type thing. So we've got the seer and we've got Athelstan. So we had him given the reading of the runes, and then we switched to Athelstan, and he asks, why does Ragnar sit at the hillside? I think he's asking Bjorn or Lagertha.
I think he's asking Lagertha. Mm-hmm.
And then now we're back to the seer, and he's telling the Earl that Ragnar searches for his death. And I think it's really cool how they do that, because you're seeing Ragnar sitting at this hillside, like he is searching for something, like something inside him. But he needs to be outside to kind of have that peace to be able to do it. And then the Earl now asks the seer, does Ragnar desire to be Earl? And
he says, if he kills you, will it not be so?
And then the Earl says, but the gods have always been favorable to him. And the seer says, but what about your sons? Which was really cold, but truthful, I guess.
Truthful as well, yeah.
Then the Earl asks if the gods really exist. And then the seer laughs enigmatically. Athelstan now tells Lagertha that he knows what Ragnar is doing, that he is preparing himself. End of episode.
Yeah, well, you know, he's just... I don't think... See, at the beginning of all this, I don't think Ragnar wanted to be Earl.
You know what I mean? I don't think so either.
I think he just wanted to go make some money
and
be a farmer and do better for himself instead of struggling the way that he was. I think Earl Haraldson, right?
Yeah.
I think he's kind of forcing Ragnar's hand. And now when he's on that hill, I think it's him committing to, okay, it's not going to work out. My friends have died. I've got to go take care of this. And he's smart, you know, so and that's how I would want to be alone before making a big decision, just to make sure I'm not being influenced by anybody in my family or friends, you know, anything big like that. You want a little solitude to make sure.
I think Earl Harrison is really forcing his hand mm-hmm. on this, because there's been a couple of times with, you know, and it was in this episode and in another episode where he points a finger at him and he says, Ragnar Lothbrok, you are an ambitious man. And he uses the adjective in a negative way mm-hmm. to say that it's bad to be ambitious, but he's not really. I mean, he's doing different and new things, but he's not really an ambitious man, but he's forcing him to be an ambitious mm-hmm. man in what he has to do to get out or rectify certain situations.
Yeah, because he's done everything right for the Earl. He's the one who brought it to his attention that they can go west. You know, he's talked to him, and then when he came back, showed him the loot and accepted the penalty of him keeping, you know, just one piece of the hoard. Mm-hmm. So he's really tried to get this guy on his side. He's just a douchebag. It won't.
It just makes me think of like a tree that's, you know, been planted in like an urban area, and the roots start to kind of break mm-hmm. up the cement around it. It's like Ragnar, he's got a force. This is his natural tendency. That's what he wants to do. And he's got something that's trying to prevent him. Well, he's going to make a way for it to happen. And mm-hmm. if it involves destruction of whatever's impeding him, that's what's going to happen. If the Earl had just, I guess we're getting in spoiler territory.
Yeah. Well, we'll stop it here and then move into the spoilers.
Yeah, let's do that.
So if you want to hear the rest of this amazing conversation,
yeah,
listen after the music.
Before we go into that, I have an idea about feedback. We just got some feedback recently from Dee Cody. She's got some notes on some shows, and I'm thinking since she's – when we do our bonus podcast, maybe we can break it up into per episode.
Fantastic.
And we can talk about what she says and whoever else wants to contribute. Steve's going to start taking over the email feedback. So if you guys want to talk to Steve, there you go. You know, go to our contact page on noship.net and you can talk to him through there. And I'll still man Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, all right. We're going to go into the spoilers, unless you guys have anything else to say.
No. I think they covered it.
Yeah. On hold music.
I don't even remember how it goes. I'm trying to do Ariel from Little Mermaid.
That was actually pretty good. So I couldn't pin it. No, it was actually decent. So I was like, where is that from?
Look at this place. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you say my collection's complete?
I have stinky feet.
Would you think of a girl who has everything? It's the only Disney movie I know. Anyway.
You should keep that on there.
Until Disney sues us.
Yeah.
Good idea, dumbass.
All right, so now we're in the spoiler section. Any spoilers, gentlemen?
Ragnar is totally going to kill Earl Harrelson next episode.
Dead meat.
Not next episode.
Not next
what
episode.
Were we just talking One about that was next. Getting spoilery?
We were basically talking about how the Earl has forced Ragnar's hand and
to be destructive toward his person.
Posse.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting watching again the Seer too dealing with the Earl, because I think the Seer, like you said, he has a lot of power. Do you think that he gives the person that he wants to lead the right information? Because even in the later seasons with
Vorg,
he kind of like flirts with good and bad news at the same time.
And Siggy, too.
Mm-hmm. Siggy.
Yeah, there's definitely a chance or a potential for manipulation on the Seer's part. But as to how much he's doing, I don't really know. I mean, it seems like he's being upfront and as honest as he can with everybody. He tells Ragnar, you know the answer to your own question, which is like basically telling him, do what you need to do, you know. And then he tells the Earl, well, the gods really aren't on your side. Look what they did to your son. So that's a warning in and of itself. I already told you that Ragnar's after your life, and I've already kind of let you know in no uncertain terms that the gods don't really favor you. So you figure it out from there.
So just enough information to keep him from getting in trouble, too.
I can see my Swans album, The Seer, from here. It's like, it's weird. Man, we're talking about The Seer. What was I going to ask? Shit.
Well, it was cool seeing the Siggy Rollo blossom.
Yeah,
the
beginnings.
I think she's had her eyes on him for a while, though.
Probably,
if they
yeah.
haven't already done it, but I'm just saying.
Do you think she's the one who said something to the Earl about the relationship between Ragnar and Rollo?
I really do. I think she would be the one to pay attention to stuff like that, which his other advisors might not. Plus, I mean, like we said, too, it's a common sense thing, but I think some of the little extra detail, it shows when she says something about Rollo that she's already been paying attention to the rumors about how he makes the sexy time. So why not the rest of the information about him? Because even in the later seasons, she says something about Ragnar's weakness, you know?
And I think both of you guys have talked about in our season 2 coverage about how she's always playing all angles just to keep all her options open. Mm-hmm. And that would support that because You know, when we see her next episode, her and Rollo, seems like she's intensely into him, but if she's also, informing on him to the Earl, she is playing all angles, right? Because why, if she's intently
She
into.
also might see that the Earl's in trouble and is just making backup plans. Like, this might not turn out right because everybody in town already favors Ragnar. He's younger, he's stronger.
He's better looking.
Well, if you're into that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if she's seen that yet, but
She's smart, though. I mean, Siggy's smart, and she, like, I mean, she.
she gets blindsided next episode.
I know, but it's still. It still could be the beginning of the idea. You know what I mean? That just in case if something happens.
Okay, so I should have said it then.
That's all I got for spoilers on this.
Yeah, that's, I had something else about the seer, but I don't remember what it was now. Oh well.
Be cool if they started licking his feet. Be even nastier, because that's the only way you're going to get any nastier than his hands. Just peel out a toe and, all right, I'm out.
Actors would be drawing a line. Like, no.
Allahan's bad enough.
This isn't in my contract.
Either one's bad enough. I don't know if I could lick his hand. Well, for the amount of money in the TV show, I could probably lick his hand.
Anyway, this conversation's like our shit discussion. Oh, and speaking of our shit discussion,
Poop.
Paul was correct.
Yes,
They hang
yes.
their asses over
You guys
and
need to
let it
rewind that and
fly.
hear it again. It's good. No, well, it makes sense.
I would still use a chamber pot.
But Vikings, when they travel, was predominantly men, and guys are a bit, we don't want to have to extra clean a chamber pot. We're just going to hang it off the edge and go.
Yeah, I did think if I brought a chamber pot, Floki would probably single me out and totally
He'd be
make an
lifting it up.
example of me. Yeah.
What is this?
He'd wear it like a hat.
Yeah,
Dance
plus it would
around.
be dirty, and then you're on the, if it fills up, nobody changes it
Well,
because it's a
you
bunch of,
dump
yeah,
it
but we're talking about a bunch of
immediately.
guys.
Yeah.
We're not exactly the cleanest animals on the planet.
If the waves start going, it's going to start sliding back and forth now.
I
You
know,
dump
it
it
would.
immediately. It's
All
a bunch
right.
of guys.
Have you not seen a men's restroom? Like
I've
a
seen some
working
pretty
restroom?
raunchy women's
I
restrooms, so
know,
it's not
but I'm just
just
saying, I've
not.
seen some pretty nasty men's restrooms too.
This is getting close to shit talk again. See, when Steve starts to sit back,
It's just poop. Poop's funny.
Oh, I'm fine with it.
We're sitting here debating. It's fine. Either way, I was right, so that's all
Yeah,
that
that's all
matters.
that matters. Paul was right.
We've
I'm
already
going
covered
to
the
get
important
cut. That
part
whole
of
thing
it.
could just get cut out. Oh, Paul was wrong, it looks like.
Shit.
All
New
right.
information has just come to light.
So,
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, we need to bring up.
hot tub, Mike Spa. Oh, he put No Ship Network sticker
Sticker on
nicely
his
done.
daughter's car,
on
was
his
it?
daughter's car.
That was awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hooray for the hot tub. That's awesome. That was cool. And I saw that on the Twitter. I was just like, yes.
I know. I had to put Steve to bed because he started crying. It was sweet.
Oh.
Well, it was also past my bedtime. Let's be fair.
Yes, good job, everybody.
Okay, so what was her name? Christine? Christina?
Christine at Sweet Po
Cute Poison.
Cute Poison, thank you.
Okay, Christine at Cute Poison. We
Okay,
got.
wait, let me hold on and I'll say
Say
what.
what you're gonna
She wants a nickname. Christine at Cute Poison wants a nickname. We gave nicknames out to people who were writing feedback that we used on our podcast during season two. And so we felt like we became somewhat close to these guys because whatever. So we gave them nicknames because that's what Steve does. He nicknames everything, even inanimate objects.
You
But
don't want to know. No,
Some of this is private, okay?
yeah. So I asked her to suggest because she's on a different time scale, so they don't. She's not seeing the same time,
Episodes.
the episodes, the same time as we are. So I suggested to her that she nominate maybe some shows that we could possibly cover in the future. She nominated Rain.
No idea. What's Rain?
Yeah.
Well, give us the list and then we'll go through and then give her
Okay,
something on the
so
next pod.
I think it's kind of described as Gossip Girls meets Game of Thrones or something like that. Gossip Girls meets
What
medieval times.
was the other one?
That was the one thing she wrote first, and I said, "Well, I don't think Paul and Steve will be into that." She understood, and then she suggested after that Scandal or what was the other one? Something else that we wouldn't do.
This seems like very well.
But this, she contributed. Like I did write back and said we're more into the fantasy sci-fi genre stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, or horror. So that would be.
This seems like a case of like if you ever had a friend who you have like you're listening to something one day or they get into the car with you and you got a CD in the player and you're like, oh, you like this band? Yeah, I like this band. This is one of my favorite bands. And you both really, really like this band. Then you go to the next step and you're like, well, you'll probably like this other stuff because I like this. And, you know, the other person's thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then all the CDs that they bring in, it's like, no, I don't like, you know what I mean? This was the only common ground. Well, you know what I mean? As far as TV shows.
We can't force a nickname out. You know, maybe if she just keeps us up, keep up on Twitter or something and we get a little rapport going, you can't just give something a nickname right off the bat. It's always got to be like even an inanimate object.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be a fluid thing. So definitely hope she keeps up and, you know, contacts us and keeps talking about, you know, Vikings and stuff that we all have in common. I'm sure a nickname will come out of it, but we can't just force one out.
I did come up with two. I don't know if either of them would be
totally wrong.
Really? Well, I mean, you know, I give nicknames to things all the time, as M pointed out. But I don't think either of them are totally great. But, you know, considering the name Christina Cute Poison, I was thinking COPD, which I don't know. I don't know if you'd really like that one.
That's not a good one.
No. Or this one goes a little deep, but CC DeVille, guitarist for Poison.
No, that's a limited few that would understand that one too.
I am kind of old, so there's that. But there was a band called Poison from the 80s and 90s, and their guitarist was named CC DeVille.
And they're all cute, so.
Well, their first album.
I do not really mean that.
Their first album, like Look What the Cat Dragged In, they all look like women on the cover.
I know.
Like you can't really.
Well, that's the hair bands, man.
Yeah.
Spandex.
I don't think either of those nicknames are stellar, but if it forms organically, I'll come up with one because it's these other names that I came up with came because we kept encountering these people
talking
and they were,
about
and then it just became like, oh yeah, Brisket wrote us again, and then it's like, oh, that's gonna be that person's nickname, and then
so in other words, yeah,
give it time.
We'll get familiarity with her, and you'll eventually come up with something.
I think it's great that she wants one.
I think it's great that she's you know, like. Writing stuff to us and saying anything about the show. I really encourage that. That makes us feel like what we're doing is worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Because people are listening to us, they enjoy us, and they want to interact with us. And that's at the end of the day, that's why we do this. But I just wanted to say one thing about suggestions for potential shows that we could podcast on. Just a little bit of something about us, if I haven't already said this. We live, I don't know, close to like what, about 45 minutes away from you?
Yeah.
And we all work full-time jobs. We all have commutes to our jobs, and it's hard for us to get the scheduling together to do what we do. You know, Paul has to drive out to our house. His studio is almost coming together at his house, and we're going to start dividing up the time. But as of now, you know, for the whole time that we've been a podcast group, Paul's been coming out to our house. So we have schedules to contend with, you know, and then real life steps in.
If you guys just move, it'd be easier.
Yeah, it'd be much easier.
Can we consider it?
Jerks. But – we have these real world considerations to tangle with all the time. You know, people get sick, jobs make us work at times where we don't really want to be working, family things happen, people go out of town, there's whatever, you know, you name it. So really, this is only the second show that we've ever podcasted on. And the first one was Spartacus, which you probably already know, but
you
if you didn't
listen to,
now you do.
It's amazing.
And we did all, you know, four seasons of that. And, you know, this is both shows have the commonality of being historical based fiction. So we're not really sure exactly what we're going to do for the third show. We know we're going to do a third season of Vikings and every season after that, of course, you know, for as long as the show runs. But as far as suggestions go, we have a pretty narrow scope about because it has to meet all three of our criteria for being a great show in the first place. We also have to have a little bit of meat on the bones of the show. It can't just be a good show to watch that's, you know, visually exciting or, you know, has some good action or something like that. There has to be some subtext for us to comment on. And then on top of it, we all have to agree that it's worth our time to do as far as scheduling our podcast schedule around, which is kind of a
motivate us.
It has to motivate us.
A month to come up with Vikings, a month and a half to actually nail it down.
Because I think we started thinking about it probably back. We finished up podcasting on Vikings in January. Spartacus in January, and it was October of 2013 when we first started brainstorming about mm-hmm. what we were going to do. You know, and then, yeah, you're right. It took us a couple of months before we really landed on that.
Like Steve said, I don't mind doing it not sci-fi as long as it's a really good show. And yeah. something that I'd like it to keep it to where no one else is really podcasting on it. It'd be nice to be, just like with Vikings, we were fairly fresh on the scene.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like one thing that, you know, people have suggested to us in the past, and we've even kicked around the idea, is Game of Thrones. But we're definitely not doing that. Number one, I would feel like it would just degenerate into a, this isn't how it happened in the book kind of mm-hmm. podcast, which I find to be pretty trite and boring mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And I don't think it offers much to the listenership. And on top of that, the competition is not that I feel that we don't have a great podcast with something to offer, but the competition and the level of Game of Thrones is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. There's a copious amount of podcasts out there, and you know, we would just get lost in the shuffle. And this is something that we all put a lot of work and effort into, especially Em. And you just don't want to put that much effort into something that a lot of people aren't really yeah. going to.
And just any suggestion you can think of, keep it coming, because who knows, one of them might stick. You know, it might be something that we would have never thought of. Because I'm going to go home and look at these, like, trailers of these shows and see, because right now I don't know anything about it except the synopsis of it, and I need to see an actual episode before I make any kind of decisions. With Vikings, I had already seen a full season. I knew what I was getting into. Spartacus, I didn't, but I had both of y'all telling me how amazing it was, and I didn't like it until like the third, fourth episode.
Yeah. What did I get myself into?
Yeah, you know, it was like, I'll keep this up because it's fun, but it's got to get a little better.
I got a bad feeling about this.
But that goes to show you. I mean, it's... As long as they have it, as long as we just keep getting suggestions, just be patient with us, we'll find something. Who knows? Our next podcast might not be on a TV show. What if it'll be on something completely different? We might start one on how many libraries we like in the United States. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
We'll have lots of listeners for that.
Yeah.
As far as – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, our friend of a podcast, Wild E. D. Cody, suggested the show Turn. I don't know if and that's
Turn.
Set in the American Revolution.
Cool.
I think I've seen something online, just like a little tiny little
snippet. You got a spy group that's, I know a little bit about it. And anyway, so that's a suggestion. The first season's about to conclude, I think.
Sweet.
And then, you know, it doesn't have to be science fiction. It doesn't have to be any certain thing. Like, I would have liked to have been able to podcast on, say, the first four or five seasons of a show like Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been really awesome. Or even
phenomenal.
Lost. Yeah. But, you know, some of these shows end up disappointing you in the end. But
well, that would make for interesting, because then, yeah. I mean, it would still even be good even towards the end of Dexter, because then we would just have fun with it. It would just be all fun and comedy at that point.
Yeah, you'd just be
Six
poking
feet
fun.
Under would have been awesome.
Six
to
feet
fun.
Under.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anybody with ideas, you know, definitely keep them coming. I hope everybody who did receive a sticker shows us a picture of what they did with it. I'm dying to see what the other two people did. I can't help it.
Paul made those stickers.
Thank you very much. No, but it's nice. It's nice to see. It's nice to see, and it's definitely nice to know that people are joyous. So, you know, thanks to everybody for listening. And definitely, you know, if you want a nickname, just let it come naturally. You know, we don't want to force it. Because what if the perfect nickname comes later and we've already
yeah,
done that, you know?
We've already started calling you COPD, and it's like nobody has a good time with this. No.
Cutie patootie, you never know. Well, I know it almost fits, but see, it's because we started talking about it. You never know.
Cutie patootie. Can we change Wile E. D. Cody? Well, I think she likes it, so maybe we shouldn't.
We should do Wile E. Coyote.
You could say Wile E. Coyote if you can't, you know, pronounce words.
Yeah, I'll say Wile E. Coyote, and you guys can say whatever. shut up. Next episode will be Vikings. Wait, will be Raid. Next episode will be Raid. See you then. I'm Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
Worst sign-off ever. Okay. This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.